communist governments actually do demand the last penny from people, namely their inner decency and respect for the ingenious creator, who due to his inconceivable greatness of spirit cannot be comprehended. Arrogance is a state of mind that makes one lose self-control. But when arrogance is joined by fanaticism, man begins to imagine things that do not actually exist. He will then invent a philosophy of lies that represents a satanic phantasmagoria in its formulation. This is the only way communism can turn into a blasphemy. According to this, communism is therefore the prophesied Antichrist. Blasphemy has nothing to do with science, even if one gives it the name of scientific atheism. No science has jurisdiction over blasphemy, that is to say ungodliness, because science means recognizing nature. Blasphemy, however, is not the recognition of nature, on the contrary to it is absolute ignorance. Those that fall prey to this infamy should not be pitied, because they must actually have an evil disposition in the first place. A divine law is anchored within every human being, it differentiated man from all animals and it grants man primacy within the universe. This law is, however, also an active energy at the same time. Blasphemy robs man of this active energy that makes an appearance when those that are ill, those in need of care, those that just had an operation and those that despair acquire it, and even experienced physicians call it the wonderful power of the mind. This bodacious cosmic energy people are connected to under normal circumstances, makes an articulate appearance at places of pilgrimage. What kind of energies do you think become blatantly obvious at Lourdes or at Fatima? Do you believe that this happens because of a blasphemy? This professorship communism founded at its universities is in reality called professorship of blasphemy, in other words, professorship of dumbness. The required material is maliciously twisted and due to its hatred of man, wantonly misinterpreted. This material naturally attacks the weak points within the Bible. But I can tell you that these weak points can also be interpreted differently, namely through the objective truth, as I have mentioned often enough. The weakest point is the legislation handed over on Mount Sinai, because God is supposed to have personally talked to Moses. You already possess space rockets on your Terra. You already have some experience in regards to spaceships through what you call ufology. All the materials gathered by you through observations should suffice for you to know how our spaceships are constructed externally. Based on these pieces of evidence, you can faultlessly ascertain that an extraterrestrial spaceship must have landed on Mount Sinai. Our forefathers, the Santina, brought you this legislation. This does not require a professorship of blasphemy, because God did not talk to Moses personally. Moses did, however, receive his indoctrinations over about 40 days on board one of our spaceships. We heralded divine guidelines and we heralded God's glory. The commandments we brought to the people on earth at that time still have validity these days. It amounts to a lie when one wants to assert that these laws were elaborated by Moses and his priests. In regards to the books of Moses, there are guidelines within them that indeed have no validity but still manage to become part of the Holy Scriptures. The Bible is, however, evidence of our existence, and we want to verify that you are mistaken. If the people on earth allow themselves to be influenced by the malevolent nonsense of a few party fanatics, they blindly beat a path towards their own downfall. I therefore warn you, leave this blasphemy alone. We have no objections to you reforming your church religions. We welcome every step towards the truth. We are, however, deeply distressed when we see that you want to destroy the very last bond between God and his people. Next headline is, Apply Discernment. The anti-spirit, ergo God's antagonist, unmasks his sinister activity with this measure. He influences the powers of negative governments in order to achieve his goals. This professorship of mistakes has the assignment of making people government dependent and party dependent. It has nothing to do with science and also nothing to do with theology. It is an anarchistic accusation against God. One could somehow understand accusations against churches and religions, but accusations against the creative spirit that created man so that creation has meaning, is no longer acceptable. to you should be ashamed of yourselves. All witnesses for the prosecution, qualified to make statements against God through treachery or lies, e.g. ignorance or maliciousness, are tolerated. There are however no witnesses for the defense, as these are not listened to at all and not even admitted to the hearing. On the contrary, every witness for the defense is in danger of being condemned as well. The real agenda behind this action is to bring about an equalization amongst the people on earth so they would show absolute obedience and exercise absolutely no criticism on the dominant class. Atheism naturally threatens people's morals. It also hinders people's sense of responsibility and brotherly love. A state of affairs that one can call barbaric hedonism. This is a retrograde step towards past times that should actually act as a warning. The Bible contains a few passages that mention a final battle between good and evil. This isn't just plucked out of thin air. The people on earth tread paths that inevitably evoke such a final battle. It may be true that the positive powers will be victorious, but the fact that the people on earth will have to pay an enormous price for this iniquity cannot be avoided. One can however not ban the despots within red communism from applying this academy of malicious contortion. This is the reason why only those forces can be evoked that will expose this academy of dehumanization. We must admit that biology has gained certain insights. This research has made great strides, particularly in the Soviet Union. Knowledge in regards to organic matter is unfortunately not enough to analyze human beings. The spiritual structure of human beings is such that it cannot be discerned through conventional means. This is the reason why the sciences find themselves in error. They have, however, no opportunity to extricate themselves from these errors, because the truth turns into an enemy of the state. One intentionally prevents all corresponding research that could possibly bring about a change. Because you are not informed about these things, we have to do so now. Even UGH1 will be fulminating against it. There is not one single human being throughout the universe that knows the power play and the prevalent intelligence within creation after a fashion. The ingenious interplay between individual micro and macro systems is so magnificently coordinated that it cannot be comprehended, because the mental capacity of all universal humanities does not suffice to do this. Mankind capitulates and resigns here. Mankind's powerlessness becomes clearly apparent here. Man therefore slams the door in God's face, because he cannot endure God's light and his wisdom. Mankind managed to gain a tiny insight into divine creation too, and it has already turned megalomaniac. What will be the result if the same mankind gains even more insights into creation? The Creator is a great, creative spirit and not a fantasy figure. He is also not physically present. There are very good reasons for man having a material body that also provides him with an excellent tool with which he could not achieve anything within the physical world, even if his spirit was ever so great. This is why man creates the things within physical nature that God cannot do here on earth, because he does not have an analog body for it. Mankind is in this respect God's representative in regards to its terrestrial creativity. But it does have the eminent responsibility to realize God's plan to and not bring about the opposite effect. Next headline is, Explaining Life's Meaning. It is quite natural that we give mankind on earth information about many vital questions based on our own insights. This represents a friendly service to further the universal, human brotherhood's progress. Your language utilizes the word life. We however have a number of notations for life in our language. What I am trying to say is that your concept of life is not sufficiently specialized. If I may expand on your insights, I have to say that there is certainly a difference between a vegetative and a spirited existence. A plant is alive, but it does not have a consciousness, even UGH it is capable of motion. Man however lives with a consciousness, even UGH man and also a plant are alive. Consciousness is therefore something very special within life's process. With the help of our medical science we are able to keep a human body alive for years, even UGH consciousness has left the body. Such a body is with a soul, but the physical body's animated progress continues artificially. We have, however, ascertained that the consciousness that left the mentioned body continues to exist outside the body, but that it could no longer return to the body, because the separation between the body and the spirit was permanent. With the assistance of the radiation contraption, our consciousness can, however, leave our animated body temporarily to then return to the body. On our journeys through the cosmos, we can dematerialize and rematerialize with the help of a similar contraption. This process makes the nuclear systems spread far apart. This process takes place within a fraction of a second, ergo faster than one's heartbeat. Consciousness is not affected by this as it exists independently from the material body. Consciousness is temporarily switched off, but it soon copes with the new situation. Your insights in regard to your existence are still very deficient. Physical matter cannot produce an ego consciousness at any rate. Man, however, does possess such an ego consciousness. It is not produced by the brain, it is only in contact with the brain. We have very accurate insights into this. Due to communication difficulties, we find it impossible to convey such comprehensive knowledge to you. If you proceed along the correct path, you will inevitably find out for yourselves. It is very, very important that you create clarity in this case, because this aberration in regards to the consciousness of physical matter makes mankind on Earth arrive at completely false conclusions about human life and the human existence. The doctrine of order deals with the question of whether the world is a whole or the sum of many coincidentally thrown together individual occurrences. There is only one answer, namely that order must abide by the law of causality. Accordingly, God is the cause of creation. The universe is his impact. Individual things as impact within the cause create a unit. The order of things is, however, interfered with by the negative antipolarity that has a disorganizing effect everywhere and that will eventually even destroy itself. We admit that the people on Earth have recorded some very important insights in regards to matter. We admire the facilities that were installed to wrestle even more insights from physical matter. All of this takes place according to God's plan, so we do not object to this. For some strange reason you do, however, balk at the existence of a world of spirit. This is not intended within the Creator's plan. You possess millions of valid pieces of evidence at your disposal in regards to the existence of a world of spirit, but you falsely interpret this evidence and take it to mean something else. To one could change the meaning of everything if so inclined. You must take into account that everything throughout the universe is bipolar. Every item has its corresponding counterpart. Propagation is also based on this principle. This is why antimatter exists, whose energies have a different polarity than that of physical atoms. You have already gained some research results in this direction. Why are you so reluctant to accept that an anti-world exists where human beings lead an existence within a different polarity? The so-called hereafter is, of course, the reciprocal pole to the here and now. Its antimatter is just as stable as your physical matter in the here and now. One can surely not doubt that this is so. Your scientists behave completely biased if they do not take these physical and metaphysical facts into consideration. The fact is that your search for power, glory and money is greater than the desire for genuine insights into your existence. God is not as omnipotent as he is portrayed by theology. He is the giver of laws, but he does not get actively involved. Without laws, no atoms and no antimatter would exist. The orders of the spirit, that are compelling, therein lays God's powers, surpass everything that exists within the universe. The way life exists on many planets, anti-life naturally exists in those regions that are situated outside of star matter. The way gravity exists, anti-gravity naturally also exists, and it is part of an anti-world. We make use of this enormous fact by partaking of these enormous anti-forces. They have a much more powerful effect than the forces that are active within star matter. I will take the opportunity here to mention that the theory of relativity is not correct in every respect. The law of perspective was not taken into consideration. But we do have high regards for researcher Professor Dr. Werner Heisenberg. His well-UGHD out formula appeals to us. The universal formula is, the impossible doesn't exist. Life exists on other planets that has adapted to prevalent condition and organs have accordingly adjusted and developed. You may therefore not take your own organs as a homogeneous yardstick for the whole universe. You may not assume that human life and other organic life cannot exist on other planets, because biological conditions are not completely equivalent to yours here. Question: we would like to know whether life exists on the surface of Venus, because only the existence of a space station was mentioned up to now. Answer: you find this difficult to believe, because a lot of things speak against it. There is, however, human life on the surface of Venus, but we prefer to not give you more details about this, because your present state of development does not allow you to comprehend this. The space station near Venus is, however, manned by Santina and they adapted quite well to the conditions there. Question: measurements taken by satellites ascertained that conditions are very hot on Venus and that this makes life on Venus implausible. Can you explain this in more detail? Answer: Venus is covered by a very thick layer of clouds. This layer of clouds filters the warmth of the sun and also the sun's light. The measurements taken by the probe came from a zone that was outside of this layer of clouds. The reflection caused by this layer of cloud has its strongest effect within this zone. The American probe therefore measured the reflected sunlight. Ashtarshran continues: an extraordinarily number of versatile life forms exist throughout the universe that in many cases unimaginably surpass life on Terra, as conditions on Terra as not as ideal as you surmise. The powerful gravity on Terra alone represents some hindrance, as you have neither explored nor seen life on other planets, your whole point of view is completely one-sided. To add to this is the circumstance that you regard yourselves as the most advanced life form throughout the whole universe and completely rule out that life could exist that is far advanced of yours. This paramount life, this fact also requires a paramount consciousness, that is to say, a consciousness, an eminent intelligence you cannot compare yourselves with. All of this sounds depressing. You must, however, accept this, because your arrogance does not respect life. Arrogance kills people in a most bestial and irresponsible manner. The few efforts that are made are relatively small compared to your disrespect for life, so that they hardly make impact. Your science has already ascertained that enormous numbers of bacteria exist within the oil deposits on Earth. These are also life forms that nobody on Earth UGHT that they could possibly exist. The universal formula is therefore correct. The impossible also does not exist in regards to life forms and forms of consciousness. Picture: image of a piece of evidence of extraterrestrial life. This magnification shows a microbe that was attached to the Orgel meteorite. Such a design is not known on our Earth. One discovered microfossils on the Orgel meteorite from an unknown Earth. In the middle of the object found on the meteorite is a core that looks like it is of a hexagon shape. The reality is that it has 10 or 12 surfaces. The diameter of the object that represents an extraterrestrial life form is about 3/100 of a millimeter. The spiral nebula you call the Milky Way contains around 100 billion fixed stars, that is to say, suns. In addition to this are planets, comets and moons. The whole universe is unfathomable, but it does contain far beyond 10 billion of such Milky Way systems. Most people on your Terra have no inkling about the enormous expansion of space. This is the reason why they do not concern themselves with the UGHD of whether extraterrestrial life could exist. At least theology should, however, have some ideas about this. We welcome your endeavors to find out more about life on other planets through your interest in spaceships. Exobiology, extraterrestrial life, is a science that has to be taken very serious. I am particularly interested in bringing to your attention the fact that every one of you, and this without exception, must continue to live in an anti-world, ergo the hereafter, and through the interplay between both worlds, must continue to return to star matter. Theology is not enamored with this fact, because it doesn't coincide with the dogmas of the Bible. We know, however, that this Bible is not correct in many respects, that it actually confuses people completely. The fact that one must be skeptical is absolutely understandable. This natural and justified skepticism should, however, certainly not be exaggerated. This is unfortunately the case with you everywhere. In regards to the existence of the human soul and its immortality, the skepticism shown by your authoritative political leaders is carried to ridiculous extremes. This raises their arrogance to abysmal heights, because they are aware that the power of the state give them power over life and death of the whole planet. All they have to do is press one button in order to trigger a world catastrophe. Mankind's leaders on this terror have no inkling that they have to give account of all their UGHTs and actions in another world. They are blinded by science's ignorance, and this is why they believe in an absolute death. Next headline is, an explanation about human rights. All human beings born on any planet come from a spiritual existence. They are not citizens of a country, but peoples on a planet. The purpose of their physical existence is to gain spiritual maturity. The birth planet is their actual home. According to the laws of nature, man is the apex of creation, and this is why man is free. For as long as man abides by the laws of human coexistence, his freedom may not be taken away. Every human being has the right of free self-determination. Man is amongst equals within every nation and every race. Even UGH's development might be dissimilar to that of others. It is man's function to strive for higher knowledge. All people should genuinely and energetically support one another in this endeavor. The evolution of man's character takes first priority. Man has to develop to a point where he is free from hatred, envy, and also free from any craving for admiration. Every human being is part of a community that is not restricted to a people or a country, but a community that includes the whole universe. The Earth is a part of the universe, and even after people have died, they will continue to live within a universal community. Man has the eminent duty to prove that he is a human being. No human being may hinder anyone's voluntary higher development. But it is also man's duty to prevent all retrograde development. Mankind's leaders have to afford the people on Earth support and protection. Being threatened by unrest and by wars neither constitutes support nor protection. Freedom is the topmost law within man's evolution. Freedom may not be the unbridled gratification of one's passions and urges, it must be expressed in good manners and virtuousness. Brotherly love and fraternity are laws of nature. They are to be respected accordingly. The universal brotherhood applies to all humanities on all inhabited planets. This is why people are obliged to help one another, from nation to nation and from planet to planet. Those that act against this law of nature forfeit the right to be called a sibling of the human race. Man's dignity is the characteristics of humanness. The laws of the universe surpass the laws of nations. The Santiner acquainted the people on Earth with the universal laws. Those that abide by these laws of humanness gain the right to freely visit all regions of this Earth, their home planet. There is no such thing as statelessness, because the Earth in its entirety is the home of the terrestrial human race and represents one level of the overall development of the human race within the universe. The government of a nation is its protector and educator. It may not engage in stirring up hatred against other nations and other races. It is obliged to strictly ensure that the people on Earth affiliate into a homogeneous and peace-loving global family. The government of any nation never represents the highest authority, because it is subordinated to a higher authority, even UGH. This authority can for now only be recognized through its laws of nature. Apart from this, mankind on Earth is being continuously controlled by a human race that is far advanced of mankind on Earth. Man may not mock. Man has the right to freely criticize, and he may believe in the things he considers to be correct. This criticism may, however, never take on the form of contempt or derisiveness. Middle. Derisiveness and contempt are unfair mental weapons, and they get in the way of the free development of the truth. Differences of opinions between people and whole nations may not be settled through wars. Middle. Man possesses a spark of divine wisdom, and he must correctly utilize this spark of wisdom to gain brotherliness. Next headline is, Mankind on Earth's level of development. Many technological and scientific achievements have contributed to making mankind on Earth believe that they are just about to reveal Mother Nature's last secrets. One believes that one will be able to open the ultimate door to the mysterious in the very near future. The reality, however, looks entirely different. Man is quite well informed about his own planet, but knows very little about other planets. He doesn't even know objectively that there are planets amongst them that developed human races that reached levels that are way beyond that of mankind on Earth. This level is not only gauged by the stage of their technological and scientific achievements, but especially by the state of their spiritual development. You have hardly an inkling of just how important this spiritual development really is. Mankind on Earth's spiritual development is way below the level of other human races spread throughout the universe. The majority of the people on Earth show absolutely no interest in any spiritual progress. If one were to establish an average of the general education level, one would not even be able to use this average education level as a yardstick. Mankind on Earth's general knowledge correlates only to the economy and to politics. Well, actually on the few technical fundamentals as well. Middle. Spiritual fundamentals are almost completely lacking to, and whatever is there, is ignored. Your religions cannot be utilized as spiritual fundamentals, because they feature too many mistakes. Middle. War is the opposite of peace. Middle. War is the opposite of construction. Middle. War is the opposite of health and the maintaining life. Middle. War is the mass destruction of human beings the murderers never knew individually. It is the superlative murder of unknown fellow human beings. Middle. Anyone killed on a battlefield could have been your benefactor in another life, well, maybe even your son or your mother. Terrestrial mankind's level of development is not determined through higher insights, but through brutal force. There is therefore no doubt that terrestrial mankind developed a craving for power that represents one of the main character traits of the abhorrent opponent of divine creation. If one were to accurately investigate this craving for power from a psychological point of view, one would ascertain the fact that one is dealing with a mental illness, well, actually a danger to the public safety for all of mankind on this terror. As this is, however, a general, worldwide phenomenon, is it naturally accepted as something natural by the public? One foregoes the opportunity to delve into and to heal this mental illness that has gripped all of mankind like an epidemic. Middle. This bellicose lust to kill is certainly not a normal human attribute. The bestiality within political UGHT processes on terror in this direction is unique. Mentally ill people, totally contaminated by a war or craving for power bacillus, get together to discuss peaceful resolutions between nations and races. What absolute nonsense! Nothing positive will ever be achieved in this way unless this pandemic epidemic of this bellicose mental illness is arrested psychologically and with the help of the natural sciences. Middle. Mankind on Earth must acknowledge the fact that every UGHT that deals with war is an insane UGHT. There have been cases where someone, in a marriage for instance, brought their partner to the brink of insanity through their behaviorism to such a degree that they resorted to murder or threw themselves out of the window. All of mankind on Earth is brought to the brink of insanity through the behaviorism of the leading classes. The people on Earth are now absolutely unable to objectively assess this enormous problem. Almost everybody feels that war represents a required necessity in regards to their own existence. You turn mass murder into a profession. Middle. War, as a basic principle of survival, is the greatest insanity man has ever come up with. I will explain this dangerous situation to you in more detail. You will have to admit that your lunatic asylums are overcrowded. I know from personal experience that a lot of patients are accommodated in the corridors of these asylums. There is therefore a whole group of lunatics that have been isolated from the rest of mankind. Is there a plausible reason why there couldn't exist an even greater number of lunatics for whom there is no space within these isolated asylums? The sciences on your planet assume that there are many millions of people that are not normal, but that cannot be regarded a danger to the public's safety.